It's lovely to be here today, and it's lovely also that last time I came here, we were a bit thin on the ground in the FAAP Centre, and it's nice to see there's more people coming out and choosing to mix. And yes, there's all those people on Zoom as well, but as a family, I feel very strongly we need to be together and remember to be together as things become a little bit easier and hopefully continue to be. The reading for today, actually, the reading I was set, and which I am going to read, is Jeremiah 1, verses 4 to 12. But Rachel is, as once I've finished, she's going to read a piece from Psalm 139 that I think kind of bookends what I want to say today. So if we just start with Jeremiah 1, starting at verse 4. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." "Alas, sovereign Lord," I said, "I do not know how to speak. I am too young." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say I am too young. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and I will rescue you," declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, "I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant." The word of the Lord came to me, "What do you see, Jeremiah?" "I see the branch of an almond tree," the Lord, I replied. And the Lord said to me, "You have seen correctly, for I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled." Thank you, Lord, for every word in this book is true. Now, verse 5, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." I'm going to do a bit of a Bible study to start with and then branch off, as is my way, into places unknown. "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." Jeremiah was a young man, but God wanted him to know that his call went back much, much further than his youth. We all exist in the mind and the plan of God before we ever exist, even in the womb. This information is given to Jeremiah as a starting point, not just to interest him or to entertain him, but it's given so that he would know God's will. He would be encouraged by that. And perhaps in making his own plans in life, he brings them into life, God's. So these verses are talking about the ministry of Jeremiah as he's working amongst God's people. In fact, it's quite a major undertaking here. A prophet to the nations and the kingdoms. Just the people around you. A bit scary, I would guess. But so that they might know God, know his purposes, his provision in life. Take God seriously. Listen to, work with God in all aspects of life. This is what Jeremiah had to do, was going to have to do in every decision, in every situation, in every problem, in every relationship. Because godliness is a devotion to God. It's not an easy thing at all. It's a way of life that not only puts God first, but brings that power of God into the situations of life. I was really impressed watching that Black Lives Matter just then, how that lad there was powerfully saying that this was what his father had to do, and this was the baton that he was wanting to carry on and to pass on. And wherever you find yourself, it's not just by accident that you happen to be there. You are there for a purpose. Any problem or issue that you come across isn't because of a lack of God's provision or his care. The real issue is our ability to trust and our obedience in the truth of his word, and our ability to have the faith to act on those promises. And as we move into verse 7, Jeremiah's told off, do not say, I am too young. It may have been true, but it was irrelevant. God didn't want to hear it right now. He really didn't particularly want Jeremiah to say it, because God insists that he has a right to call whoever he wishes to call. Young people, mature, of whatever color, whatever ethnicity, and to use them if he will listen, if they will listen to his call and answer it. I confess, a verse such as this actually still causes me personally a little bit of pain down the inside there, because the opposite happened to me and I was deemed to be too old for ministry, even at 52. And so, yes, it doesn't always work out as we expected it to. We find we're called, and as we move on, we find we're called perhaps in a slightly different way to the way that was our first impression, our first idea. I was thinking of Moses, who had to go away and come back 40 years later. But we never lose hope, and it's good to question, it's good to doubt, because we can reevaluate and revisit and say, actually, what was going on there? And it may be many, many years before we understand or get a glimmer of that wasn't wasted. That wasn't wasted. Whether that what we're called to is now or soon or somewhere on the horizon or a different shape or form, that journey to discovering it is still part of that calling. And Jeremiah is told that he has to go to everyone. Go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you to, not just what you had in mind. God spoke with both encouragement and persuasion. He protests that he can't go because he's too young. And what does God simply say? You must go. Off you go. Get on with it. Later, Jeremiah remembers how he was so reluctant at the beginning. I haven't run away from being your shepherd. This is in later on in chapter 17. I haven't run away from being your shepherd. You know I have not desired the day of despair. What passes my lips is open before you. And then the Lord reaches out and touches his hand with his mouth, something we're not supposed to do right now. But in his vision, Jeremiah saw the Lord touch him in his own personal, very personal way, just as God had touched the mouth of Isaiah when he was called to the office of prophet. So he does it with Jeremiah as well. Has there been a moment when God has touched you? See, today, says verse 10, I appoint you. Jeremiah was definitely called, but he didn't do that calling. He didn't fulfill that in his first year, or even in his first 10 years. And I say again, if there's something you know that you have a calling to, and you just can't understand why that just hasn't happened, be aware, it just hasn't happened yet. And not necessarily in that way that you expected anyway. But when God promises something, and yes, we have a God who makes us, dear Lord, us, promises. Wow. He doesn't necessarily do it in the way that we expect his will. Why should he? He's God. But Jeremiah went on to have a 40-year ministry in many different ways and in many different phases. So then the word of the Lord came to me. What do you see, Jeremiah? I see a branch of an almond tree. Now, where are we going here? I asked myself. But the Lord said to me, you have seen correctly. I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled. What do you see, Jeremiah? Well, Jeremiah would get a message to speak. But before he could speak, he had to learn to see. C.S. Spurgeon said that before you can make an impression on another person's heart, you have to make an impression on your own soul. You have to have an impression on your own soul. You must be able to say concerning the truth, I see it, before you can speak it so that your hearers can see it. Now, Jeremiah saw that it was the branch of an almond tree. Okay, a bit strange, but actually significant in two ways. First, the almond was known to be the first tree to bud in the spring. So this says that God is ready to quickly fulfill his word, just as that almond tree appears ready to bud. But secondly, the Hebrew word for almond tree is close to the Hebrew word for watchful. So this happens quite a lot in scripture, isn't it? That we get a few puns. Just helps me to know that God has that little slightly sarcastic sense of humour, I think. And the almond tree is spelled, let me get this right, S-A-Q-E-D. I'm not going to try and pronounce it in Hebrew. Whereas God is watching is S-O-Q-E-D. Just one letter difference. Yep, it's an almond tree. Yes, we're watching. But there is so much else that flows out from these verses. I'm going to go off on a bit of a flyaway here now. Because before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. These words are said to Jeremiah, but they apply to everyone. There are so many places in scripture where we are reminded of how God is aware of us intimately. Every hair on your head is numbered, it's the obvious one. But God didn't just create us. He created this entire universe. He didn't just create an entire universe. He created us too. He created the laws, the principles, those magic numbers of the mathematics, of the macro and the nano, the everything in between. This is one of the things that just turns me on about my God. He didn't just create those maths and the physics and the string theory and all those other things that we're not even aware of. I could go on. But when he creates every human, he knows exactly what we're capable of. Yes, we have free will, but he gives us the knowledge. Each of us, a special little set of synapses in our brain, and a love for some certain aspect of the world that we're in. So he also created Einstein, Newton, Marie Curie, Pythagoras, Plato, Jung, Freud. I could go on, so many, Mahatma Gandhi, so many people who have changed the world. Rosa Parks, that's another one comes to mind. He created as many women as he did men, and they have more hair on their heads. But yes, there are fewer famous women. That's not God's fault. He also created every single one of us here. Something created each of us for something very special, to do something very special, to be something amazing.